In 2004, a boy named Foley was born in a village of Ghana. He grew up like most children in a village with not a lot of money, but a lot of freedom. In fact, some of his earliest memories are of his grandfather and his grandmother taking care of him. He used to love to follow his grandfather to the farm and help with the planting and caring for the crops. And he can remember thinking, "I never want to leave here." But in 2013, tragedy struck. One day when Foley and his grandfather had gone to the village, to the market, to sell their crops, a taxi struck his grandfather and knocked him to the ground. They carried the old man to the house, but it was obvious it would take him time to recover. And in the meantime, he would be unable to care for Foley. So one of Foley's uncles came along and said he would take care of him. He said he would take him away and even send him to school. Foley didn't want to go, but the grandfather insisted, and so Foley packed up his few things and went off into the night with his uncle. But his uncle didn't take him to school. His uncle didn't take care of him. His uncle took him to Lake Volta and put him on a fishing boat and put him to work. The first time Foley went on a boat on the lake, he didn't know what to do. He wanted to escape, but it was too far to go back to the farm, and he didn't know the way, so he had to do what he was told in order to survive. And every morning, early before dawn, Foley was forced up out of bed, and every morning he was forced to trek to the lake, and every morning he was forced into the boat, and every morning he was forced to go down into the water and untangle the nets from the rocks, and every day he was forced to haul up the fish into the boat, and every day he was forced at night to carry the fish home, to serve the master, to do whatever he was told. He was a slave. No hope of escape. No strength to make it on his own. But inside of him, Foley wanted to be free. Inside of him, Foley knew that there was something better in life. And so Foley prayed, "Lord, when I go into the dark place, be my light. Lord, when I dive into the water, give me breath. Lord, keep me alive." God answered Foley's prayers. In 2015, after being a slave for 2 years on the Lake Volta, one day as he was out on the canoe, a rescue operation was launched. The police and social workers from the Department of Social Welfare had been sent onto Lake Volta to help rescue children who were trafficked and enslaved in the fishing industry, children like Foley. And when Foley's uncle saw the rescue boat coming, he said to Foley, "Get out, swim away, run for your life, get into the lake." For you see, he told Foley and the other boys that these people were bad and they would come and kidnap them. But something inside of Foley refused to listen to his slave master. Something inside of him said, "I'm not going to believe the lies any longer." Something inside of him longed to be released. And so Foley stayed in the boat. When others fled and others swam away, he stayed there. The uncle was shouting, the uncle was abusing him, but Foley wouldn't budge. And as the rescue boat got closer and closer, Foley's heart was pounding and pounding until finally the police and the social worker came alongside and took him away in the boat. After 2 years as a slave, Foley was free. They took him back to his village. Imagine the reunion with his grandfather. Imagine the joy as the people shouted, "Foley, Foley, Foley." He was home again. And that's where he is to this day, reunited with his grandfather, back on the farm, going to school, playing football. Foley found release. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of Foley. You see, just like Foley, every one of us has believed a lie. We've been promised things. We've been promised that we would get what we wanted, or that we would get ahead, or that we would get advanced. We've been promised by a slave master, and he deceived us, and we've been held captive, captive by our sin, captive by fear, captive by bondage, and we long for freedom, but it seems impossible. So we do what we're told, and we do it every day because we don't have any other answer. But there is a relentless Redeemer who is coming. He's searching through the valleys and the mountains. He'll go to any distance. He'll cross any ocean. He went even to the grave and to hell and rose again looking for you, because he's come to redeem you, and he's come to release you, and he's come to free you from every bondage. And it's time today to stop listening to the lies. It's time today to say no to the old slave master. It's time to hold on to hope and to reach out for freedom. It's time to allow the relentless Redeemer to come and release you. If you believe it, say, "Release me, Lord." That's what we're going to learn today in our sermon called Release. For I believe that God's going to move in the power of his Holy Spirit to bring freedom to every area of your life. But before we find out how, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you today that you've gathered us together in a spirit of freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I ask, oh God, that you bring liberty and freedom and release to each and every one in this room today. I pray that none of us will leave with a shackle. None of us will leave with a bondage, whether it's inside or outside. Wherever our captivity holds us, oh God, we command it to be shattered today in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask that you release faith into our hearts, faith to rise up, faith to continue to follow you and hold out for freedom, faith that will no longer listen to the lies of the enemy, but faith that will believe, "I am free," in Jesus' name. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you, Satan, and command you to go, and I loose the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of liberty, to set us free in our mind, in our bodies, in our finance, in our spirits, in our relationship, in every area of our lives. We thank you, God, that freedom is ours, and we receive it by faith now as we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to encourage you to join your faith with mine right now. Put your hand on your chest and say after me, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life. Manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen." Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. It's great to have you here as we continue our sermon series called Relentless Redeemer. We began this series last week on Easter weekend, the greatest weekend of the year, when we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But understand today that we've not finished examining the power of his resurrection. All through this week, the Spirit of the Lord has been moving upon me that we've got to continue to press in and get all the benefits that Christ won for us when he became our relentless Redeemer. For you see, the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection were some of the most powerful days he spent on earth. He spent those days imparting to the disciples the understanding of his great victory and empowering them to move on and incorporate that victory into their lives. And that's what we're going to do today. For you see, this event of resurrection has changed everything. It transformed history. It's not part of the Christian story. It is the Christian story. It sets Christianity apart from every other religion. It's what turned the world upside down 2,000 years ago, and it is the story that will turn the world upside down again today. But you see, our relentless Redeemer did not die and rise again just so that we could believe in some doctrine or theology. He didn't die and rise again just to inspire us with his example. He died and rose again so that we could be redeemed from our sin and released from our bondage. He died and rose again so that every day from that time till the eternity, we can walk in newness of life. He died and rose again so we could have new life. If you believe it, say amen. That's why this morning I'm not going to preach as long as I normally do. Don't say amen. We're going to take some time and pray. We're going to take some time to impart and to manifest the resurrection power in our lives. And I want you to open your heart and begin to get your spirit ready, because somebody's going to get healed this morning. Someone's going to get released this morning. Some bondages are going to break. Some relationships are going to change. You're going to make progress. Doors are going to open. And God is going to come and pour out his resurrection power in your life. If you believe it, say amen. and I'm here to fuel your faith because miracles are going to take place in this service in your life. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. And to help fuel your faith, we've printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover three reasons Jesus' resurrection results in my release. There at the top of your notes and on the screen ahead of you is our scripture text for today, found in the book of Acts chapter 2, 24. This is Peter, after the resurrection, preaching on the day of Pentecost, explaining to the people the power of Jesus' resurrection and what it means to us. It's on your notes, it's on the screen, but I believe God's word has the most power when it's in our hearts and on our lips, so I'm inviting you to read it out loud together with me. I want you to read it with faith, read it to put the devil to shame, read it like you mean it. Are you ready? Read it like a radio preacher. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Read that one more time. Ready, go. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Understand what the Bible is telling us today. The word of God says it was impossible for death to continue to hold Jesus Christ. And because of that, whatever is impossible in your life is possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's discover the three reasons why Jesus' resurrection results in your release. And here's your first reason today. Jesus' resurrection power is paramount. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word paramount and say that after me. Jesus' resurrection power is paramount. The word paramount means it's above every other power. It's above every other name. There's no other power, no other name, no other force that is as strong as Jesus' resurrection power. We see this even before he rose from the dead. For the Bible tells us when he came out on earth, his ministry everywhere was a ministry of power. Listen to Matthew chapter 4. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He was going out preaching, God's kingdom has come. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sicknesses or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Say those four words with me. He healed them all. You see, when Jesus came in power at the beginning of his ministry, he came to proclaim that God's kingdom was evicting Satan's kingdom. He came to proclaim that God's kingdom had come and the devil must flee. But Jesus didn't just preach this or teach this. He backed it up with power. There was a demonstration of his power. He was a proof producer, and the Bible says everywhere he went, in the nooks and the corners where people believed and where people didn't believe, Jesus went doing miracles. He healed every sickness. He cast out every devil. He raised men from the dead. He calmed the storm. He multiplied the loaves and the fish. He proved that his power was greater than the power of the enemy. In fact, that's what Jesus himself said was the result of his miracles. Listen to Matthew 12, Jesus said, if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, say Jesus is even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. And here's what miracles mean. Here's what healing means. Here's what it means when Jesus casts out devil. It means the devil has been tied up and his house is being plundered. And I speak to you, Satan and demon powers, and I remind you today that in the name of Jesus, you are tied up and we have come to plunder your house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus produced the proof of his power that it is paramount above all things. not just when he was on earth, but when he hung on the cross, the Bible tells us the enemy thought he had defeated Jesus, but it was just the opposite. For Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus defeated the rulers and powers of the spiritual world. With the cross, he won the victory over them and led them away as defeated and powerless prisoners for the whole world to see. So when he was on earth, he had authority. When he died on the cross, he defeated them once and for all. Pata pata, it is finished. Their power was taken away. Listen to what the Bible says. They are now rendered powerless. They can't come back again. There's no overtime. There's no penalty shootout. There's no extra time. The enemy has been defeated, and there's no way for him to come back. And then on the third day, the Bible says he defeated the final enemy. For 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Meaning there was one more enemy. He conquered sickness. He conquered Satan. He conquered the witch in your village. He conquered the wizard in your village. He conquered the fetish priest in your village. He conquered the idol in your family. Somebody shout amen. He conquered epilepsy and cancer and divorce and death. He conquered everything. But one last enemy was death. And the Bible says he came to destroy that enemy. He came to put it to shame. So on the third day, when the power and the glory of God came, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus came back from the dead, and he defeated the final enemy, but not just defeated it, he destroyed it. It cannot come again. It cannot rise again. It cannot battle again. Death is put to defeat. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why Romans 6:9 says Christ was raised from the dead, and we know that he cannot die again. Death has no power over him. So understand today, there's no power in heaven or on earth or under the earth that's greater than the power of Jesus. His power is paramount. That's why Philippians 2 says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And I declare every knee to bow to the name of Jesus right now. I declare your problem to bow to the name of Jesus. I declare the spiritual stronghold in your family, I command it to bow in the name of Jesus right now. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what I'm looking forward to? The day when I stand in heaven and I see Satan kneeling down and I hear Satan say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Because every tongue will declare it. The witches in the village will declare it. The fetish priests will declare it. Your enemies will declare it. Your cancer will declare it. Your poverty will declare it. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Somebody shout hallelujah. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. Every enemy I face is defeated. Every victory I need is mine in Christ. All the enemies you face, frustration, sin, sickness, poverty, abuse, all the enemies you're facing of fear and worry and doubt and anxiety and insecurity, they are defeated. And every victory you need, every wisdom, every provision, every peace is yours in Christ. I've seen this power for myself in the last 42 years of full-time ministry. When I was ministering in Mexico many years ago, we were having a crusade evangelistic meetings, and some of my teammates were with me when a madman came into our room. He had a knife and he started shouting. He was rushing to our team. He wanted to stab us. But one old woman, her name was Dorothy Baugh. She was a homemaker and a hairdresser. She'd come on the team to preach and to minister to others about Christ. She stood up by the power of the name of Jesus, and she looked at that man who was running at her with a knife, and she said, Alto, en el nombre de Cristo Jesús, which means stop in the name of Jesus. And the power of God hit that man. The knife fell out of his hand. He was paralyzed and arrested because there's no other name than the name of Jesus. I've seen it in my own life. When I was ministering in a crusade in Nigeria, we were praying for the sick, and suddenly a woman came with a little baby boy in her arms, and she handed him to us and said, "He's not breathing." The child wasn't moving. He was listless. But we laid our hands upon him and said, "In the name of Jesus, come back to life." And the child started breathing, and the child started crying, and the child started moving, and we gave him back because the name of Jesus is above every other name. I was in a church preaching about healing, preaching about the name of Jesus, and they brought an old blind grandmother. She'd come to the church because her granddaughter had taken her by the hand and led her up the path. But when we prayed for her, God opened her eyes, because there's no sickness, there's no demon, there's no power that is greater than the power of Jesus. His name is paramount. And when this old woman saw, I said, "Prove that you can see. Chase me around the platform." And this old woman started to chase me around, a woman who couldn't see, because the power of the name of Jesus is paramount. That's why I'm here to declare to you today, every enemy you face is defeated, and every victory you need is yours in Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, "It's mine." I'm here to declare to you, today is your day of release. Today is your day of healing. Today is your day of victory. Today is your day when the shackles are shattered and the bondages are broken. Today is the day when the resurrection power of Jesus comes into your life. But you see, the second fact we need to know is that Jesus' resurrection victory is permanent. Everybody take your pen and fill in the blank with the word permanent. It's not just something that used to happen. It's something that's taking place right now. It's available to you. Listen to what God's word says in Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever." Everything God created will perish. Everything formed will perish, but God will never perish. All the things you see will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like clothing, but you are always the same. You will live forever. Turn your notes over to page 2 and understand that God's kingdom is permanent. His victory is permanent. This is the distinguishing factor between the true and the false, between the counterfeit and the real. Everything that is in God's kingdom will never pass away, but everything outside God's kingdom is temporary. Everything not part of God's kingdom will be removed. For Hebrews 12 says, this means that all of creation, somebody say all of creation, will be shaken and removed. What is all of creation? Well, it's all of the earth, all the sun, moon, and stars, the things you see, the buildings, the money, the cars, your clothes, your jewelry, all of that will be shaken and removed. But that's not the only thing that's created. The devil is created. He was a fallen angel. The demons were angels who were in heaven that rebelled against God. They were created. Every power was created. Every sickness was created. Every dilemma you face was created. Every problem in your marriage was created. And everything created will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. And I came to tell you today, you can be thankful no matter what is happening in your life. You can be thankful no matter what's shaking around you, because you can be confident that everything not part of God's kingdom is going to be shaken. You're saying, sitting there today saying, "Why is everything shaking in my life?" Because those things are not part of God's kingdom. And the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken so that God can remove it. But he's building a permanent victory, a kingdom in your heart and mind that cannot be shaken. And when you cling to the kingdom of God, you've got a life that's unshakable. You've got a life that will not be removed. Hallelujah. See, everything you see, everything you're suffering will be removed. But everything from God will remain. Men spend a lot of time trying to make things last. Women spend a lot of time trying to make their beauty last. Men spend a lot of time trying to make their money last and their power last. Good luck, guys. It's going to be shaken and removed. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. The most secure place in the world is the Cheyenne Mountain Complex. It's built 60 meters underground, underneath solid granite in a mountain in Colorado, USA. It's a military base and a black site where nobody can penetrate. In fact, it's built in such a way that even if there were an earthquake, the buildings will not move more than just a little millimeter. We're told, although I've never been there, that it can withstand chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear attacks. In fact, the Cheyenne Mountain Complex can withstand a 30 megaton nuclear blast. It contains a system of tunnels with 25-ton blast doors. It's guarded by soldiers who are mean, with the highest weapons. If you dare go there, even to get to the car park, they will deal with you. But one day, the most secure place on earth will fall. One day, the Cheyenne Mountain will shake, and God will bring it down to rubble. Every metal door will melt. Every concrete pillar will turn to dust. Every soldier will drop their weapons and flee. For one day, the Bible says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come riding on a white horse from heaven, and the whole earth will flee before him. Every king, every nation, every government, every army will one day collapse and cease to exist. One day, all the might and power of the United States will be removed. One day, all the might and power of China and Russia will be removed. One day, all the might and power of everyone who's ever lived will be removed. But there is one king and one kingdom that will never be removed. There is one king and there's one kingdom whose throne is permanent, whose victory is permanent. For he says in Malachi 3:66, I am the Lord and I do not change. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the creator of the universe. He knows the stars by name. He never gets confused. He never feels afraid. He never wonders what to do. He's never at a loss for words. He's not the great I was. He is the great I am. And he knows tomorrow and has your life in his hands. And everything else in this world will pass away. But God's kingdom will never pass away. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word of your deliverance, the word of your release, the word of your salvation, the word that is a promise to you to be released. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Every problem I face is temporary. Somebody shout temporary. And every promise I have in Christ is eternal. You may be facing financial problems. It's temporary. But God's promise of provision is eternal. You may be facing health problems. It's temporary. But God's promise of healing is eternal. You may be facing marriage problems. It's temporary. But God's promise of reconciliation is eternal. You may be facing a battle with sin or bitterness or unforgiveness. It's temporary. But God's promise to set you free and release you is eternal. I need somebody to get up and praise him right now. I need somebody to lift their hand and shout, it's eternal. Hallelujah. For you see, no matter what you're passing through today, it's temporary. You may be under a cloud, but God's not under a cloud. You may be consumed with worry, but God's not consumed with worry. You may be depressed and angry, but God is not depressed and angry. He's still the healer, still the deliverer, still working out a plan for your life. He makes a way where there is no way. He makes a highway in your hard place. He's the answer when you have a question. He's the stone roller, the mountain mover, the grave robber, and the door opener. So lift your hand and say, every problem I face is temporary, and every promise I have in Christ is eternal. And that brings us to our third truth today. See, the reason God's resurrection results in your release is because his impact is personal. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word personal. His power is paramount. His victory is permanent. But the good news, the best news of all, is that his impact is personal for us. It's not just something to celebrate in theology. It's not just something to talk about or sing about. It's something that comes for our benefit. For the truth is, the resurrection of Jesus is done for us. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 1:19. I also pray, Paul is praying right now, he's praying for you. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. In just these few words, Paul packs an entire sermon. I wish I could preach like he prayed. He's praying for us to have understanding because you need to know what's available to you. He asks God to give us understanding about the great power of God. But listen to what he says. I want you to understand God's great power for us. It's for us. It's for me. For all who believe in him, the power of God is for us. Put your hand on your chest and say, it's for me. What type of power? This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The resurrection was for you. The resurrection is for you. The resurrection power is for you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. May God open your eyes and give you understanding today that the resurrection is for you. It's for me. That's why he rose again. He died and rose to release me. He died and rose to forgive me. He died and rose to liberate me. And because of that, everything has changed. If you'll call upon him, if you'll cry out to him, if you'll wait for him and refuse to believe the lies of the slave master, if you'll hang on for hope like little Foley, he will come and rescue you, redeem you, and release you. For Romans 6 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. If we share in the fellowship of his death, if we die to our sin and die to ourselves, Jesus promises to raise us to new life. That's the lesson we can learn from the powerful true story of the time the Israeli hostages here in Africa were released. Back in 1976, an Air France plane was flying from Israel to France on June 27th when it was hijacked by terrorists. After stopping in Benghazi, Libya, the terrorists let all the non-Jews off the plane and they continued with 103 Israeli hostages and flew to Entebbe Airport in Kampala, Uganda. The terrorists threatened to kill all 103 Jews on the plane unless Israel met their demand. But the Israeli government met and said, we're not going to meet their demands. Instead, they armed 100 commandos and sent them under the cover of the darkness of light of night. They landed at Entebbe Airport and prepared to attack the terminal, kill the terrorists, and release the hostages. But they had a problem. The hostages were being held along with all the terrorists in one terminal building. If the commandos from Israel stormed the building and began shooting, they would inevitably kill not only the terrorists, but some of the hostages. They didn't know how to break in and rescue the hostages without causing casualties. And then they devised this plan. They realized that all the hostages were Jews. All the hostages spoke Hebrew, the language of Israel. And all the terrorists were Arabs. None of them knew Hebrew. None of them spoke the language of Israel. So they decided they would storm the building and shout in Hebrew, "Get down, get down, get down." Only the hostages would go down while the terrorists would stand up. And that's exactly what they did. They stormed the building and shouted in Hebrew, "Get down, get down." Immediately, all the Israelis understood the word, received the word, and dropped to the ground. But all the terrorists were standing around saying, "What's happening? What's happening? What did he say? What did he say?" Meanwhile, the commandos blasted and killed every terrorist and released every hostage unharmed. When they heard the word, they went down and received life. And that's a picture of Easter. When you hear the word of resurrection, when you hear the word of life, when you hear the word of release, if you'll go down with Jesus in baptism, you'll come up with new life. But Colossians 2:12 says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. You went down with him in death, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. If you'll hear the word and receive the word and believe the word today, you will receive this new life that God has promised to you. See, God's power and plan is to share his kingdom and his victory with you. We're called to live a new life. We're not called just to believe something, just to live a religious life. We're called to walk out of the grave with Jesus and to rise in liberty and newness of life. For Romans 8 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. And I want you to understand today, there is an impact personally in your life because of the resurrection. You've got the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of you. You've got the paramount power living inside of you. You've got the permanent victory living inside of you. And if God would do that for you before you knew him, if God would die and rise from the dead when you were an enemy, how much more will he do for you right now? For Romans 8:32 says, since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And I'm here to declare to you today, you've got power, you've got freedom, you've got anointing, you've got new life, you've got vision and wisdom and understanding. You've got to be a participant in the kingdom of God because Jesus rose from the dead. See, Jesus said to us in Luke 12:32, it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. And 2 Thessalonians tells us he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. And I don't know about you, but I'm not content to sit around with an ordinary life. I'm not content to sit around with the everyday problems. I'm rising above on wings of eagle. I'm walking in my inheritance, and I'm accepting the power of the resurrection and the victory of Christ. For the paramount power and permanent victory of Jesus is mine today. It's mine.